そのこと。أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلينسيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلوميناللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهممن ليلنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتيقال لا ينال عهد الظالمين صلاة We started off with discussing the concept of our belief in imamat from the Holy Quran. And over the past 10 nights, by the grace of the Almighty,We finished with the verses that talk about imamat, and beyond that we went to prove the imamat of our first imam from the Quran. And now we are looking at our belief in the 12th imam, at our present imam, our imam, how our relationship is with him and so on. Today, I want to touch onThe duties that we have during the ghaibat of the imam. What are we supposed to do? We call ourselves min al-muntazirin. That means we are awaiting your return. Whilst we are waiting, what are we doing? And what are we supposed to do? And we learn from the imam himself.Who teaches us dua al-iftitah, and we recite the dua every day during the month of Ramadan. I am certain that as I will repeat the words, almost all of us here will find it familiar because we have heard these words. Dua al-iftitah that we recite every day in the month of Ramadan is a dua taught to us by the 12th imam.And within the dua, there are certain philosophies, certain concepts that are messages conveyed by the imam to us. Not just a question of reciting it like a parrot. It's a question of learning. You see, dua itself is a medium established by many imams or by all imams at one time or another, using that as a medium of instruction, conveying concepts, ideologies, beliefs through dua.So just as we understand, learn the Quran, we learn the khutbah of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, similarly we try and understand the du'as, extracting from the du'as concepts of beliefs that have been taught to us by the Imam. In du'a al-iftitah, we pray to Allah, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareemah.تعز بها الإسلام وأهلا وتذل بها النفاق وأهلا. Oh Allah, we pray to you for an honorable state Now that's the same kind of government we're talking of, that when the Imam will reappear, he will establish that kingdom of peace, the kingdom of God that is promised in the Bible, the kingdom of God that is promised in the Torah, the kingdom of God that all religions without any differences believe, that that kingdom of God where human beings will be saved, where justice will prevail, that kingdom of God is the same kingdom of God we recite, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin karima. In that state, tu'izzu biha al-islam wa ahla wa tudhillu biha al-nifaq wa ahla. And we have discussed this also a few nights ago, that the one thing that we will be given back when the Imam reappears is the pride we have, the pride we deserve in being Muslims. That honor of being Muslims, that fact that we are supposed to be proud, we are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we have an honor on this earth, that will be given back to us when this kingdom of God will be established. So we pray here, وَتُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَ وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَ. And as far as hypocrisy is concerned, ridicule them, subject them to the lowest of humiliation. Hypocrites, no place for them in that state. And that وَتَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ وَالْقَادَةِ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِكَ. So what we pray? We pray for something we are waiting for. We are waiting for that state to come. And in that state, we want a share of the, a piece of the cake. Let us have some kind of status, O God. Make us amongst those who call towards your obedience. من الدعاة إلى طاعتك. Who call others towards your obedience. والقادة إلى سبيلك. And if you look at the word قادة, قادة means leaders, plural of قائد. Right? Now leaders, as in, I would translate it as pioneers. That leading the way would not mean I have a following and follow me, this is the path. No. It would mean that we would be pioneers. We would be amongst the first people in the vanguard of those who are trodding along the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we want. So when the Imam comes, we don't want to be amongst those who the Imam calls and tells us, look, you don't know enough, you got to learn. This is the path, this is how you obey Allah. No. We want to be amongst those who are calling others towards the path, and amongst those who are leading others. We are the pioneers on the path, so that people look at us and say, if you want to be followers of the Imam, this is how to live. That is what we want. Well, that cannot come overnight. The fact that we can be leaders, the fact that we want to be leaders, we want to be pioneers when the Imam reappears, cannot come overnight. It has to be developed as we lead our lives, waiting for the Imam to return. And mind you, when the Imam returns, let us not despair. Let us not think an Imam is not going to come in my lifetime, because I have not seen him, I have seen no traces, no signs of his reappearance. But there is enough evidence that we are supposed to lead our lives as if we are waiting for the Imam, regardless of whether he appears during our lifetime or not. Number one. Number two, we are supposed to be so prepared that there are certain du'as. If we recite the du'as, what will happen is that even if we are dead, Allah will bring us back. Du'a al-ahad, which is there in Mafatih al-Jinan, to be recited. If somebody recites it for 40 continuous mornings after morning prayers, 40 days, the Imam promises that you will be brought back with the Imam. You will be amongst the soldiers of the Imam. And if death has separated you, then Allah will resurrect you to be with your Imam. So, there is no excuse. What we have to do is, we have to be prepared. You know, when we call others, من الدعاة إلى طاعتك, this is that أمر بالمعروف النهي عن المنكر, right? This is the general reason why the Holy Prophet said, I have come to convey what is right and to forbid what is evil. This is the general Amra bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, that was the main aim for which Imam Hussein al-Islam gave his life and the lives of his companions, his family members. He says, it is so that I can convey the truth and forbid others from performing evil. So, amra bil ma'aruf and nahi anil munkar, something that we remember from elements of Islamic studies is number 7 and number 8. I remember in my childhood when we were studying from Islamic elements of Islamic studies by marhum Allama Sayyid Sa'id Akhtar Radawi, may Allah elevate his status. Number 7 and number 8, amra bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, tawalla, tabarra, jihad. From 5 onwards, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? We have memorized them, but when it comes to practice, yes, namaz we are first. Roza, no problem. Hajj, to go there every year. Zakat and khums, yes, no problem. But from thereafter, what is amra bil ma'ruf? What is nahi anil munkar? It is exactly what we are supposed to be doing when the Imam is ghaib. So that we prepare ourselves. Amra bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. And before I talk about how we are supposed to do it, I just want to draw your attention to one hadith by the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who says that I fear from my community, again, community meaning Ummatur Rasul, that they will forsake, they will give up Amra bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Fayatawalla alayhum ashraruhum, that then their evil people will start ruling over them. ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. Then you cry, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ, and there will be no response from Allah. These are the direct effects of giving up أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Now, what is this أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ? Amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar starts with oneself. That I am responsible for my life, to guide myself on what is right and to prevent myself from what is haram. On myself. And that is the first step. Thereafter, number 2 is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. Save yourselves and your family members. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. That means you save yourselves from the fire and save your family members. Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a famous mufassir, writes that I asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulallah, you have burdened us with the task of looking after ourselves. I don't even know how good I am going to be looking after myself. And you are adding on the task of taking care of my family? And the Holy Prophet tells him, you have to. You have a duty to yourself and you have a duty to your family. You have to look after them. You have to make sure that they are on the right path. Well,
We are all parents here, so many parents here. And it is such a challenging task, such a daunting task. I speak as a father. I know how difficult it is. But it boils down, and very candidly I speak, it boils down to my priorities. Where do I apply my priorities? If my priorities are with my work, if my priorities are that I am watching television at night when I have an hour, or if my priorities are I browse the internet and reply an email when I have some free time, not willing to even sit and talk to my son, who is growing up, who is facing the world alone. It is all a question of priorities. And with every child that comes in our house, in our homes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates everything that is necessary for the child's upbringing. Whether it is food, whether it is money, whether it is clothes, whether it is spiritual upliftment. Everything is provided for. But we as parents turn ourselves away, choosing priorities that are not the right priorities, and as a result we lose our children. So I am not going to go into those details. We have a duty, we have a task in front of us. We have to take care of our children. If the times are changing, we have to change with the times to be able to meet the challenges. But the duty is ours. It is not the community's. The madrasa is not a babysitting day where you just take your children on Saturday or Sunday and say, "Ajara khatam." Nay, that is not what the madrasa is for. The madrasa is complementing, supplementing what we as parents do. Otherwise, the burden, the responsibility is ours. And if you want evidence, you go and see whenever we come across children who are either misbehaving, you look at the children, and immediately your first thought would be, "Mabab kachi." You don't think of madrasa. You don't think of which class the child goes to, or who the teachers are of the child. The first thought that comes to mind, parents kachi, where are his parents? So it is our responsibility as parents to make sure that guidance, whether it is in behavior, religious practices, is transferred into our children. So first one was Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar to ourselves. Second one was to our family members. And the third one is now the most important thing to outsiders. There is always this, you know, when I say to outsiders, am I talking outside the family? Am I talking outside the city? Am I talking outside the community? Well, outsiders is outsiders. It encompasses everybody. Whether they are my colleagues at school, whether they are my colleagues at work, whether they are my friends at sports club, whoever they are, whether they are my neighbors, my contacts, I am responsible one way or another to convey to them the blessing that I have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, this is interesting. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhaakum al-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. That you are so obsessed by abundance until such a time you visited the graveyard. This is Surah Takathur. This is to do about two tribes who wanted to find out which tribe outnumbered the other. So they went to the length of counting their people alive, and when there was a tie, they went to the length of going to the graveyard to count their dead ones, just so that one tribe outnumbers the other. Allah says, "Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun." No, you will come to know. No. Again, you will come to know. The knowledge that you have, that you know about the Day of Judgment, is different. You will come to know in a very different way. "Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun, kalla law ta'lamun 'ilma al-yaqin latarawunna al-jahim." If you had that yaqeen knowledge, you would have seen the fire of Jahannam. ثم لترونها عين اليقين. With the eyes of certainty you would have seen it. ثم
لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. And on that day, you will be asked about the bounties that were sent to you. The sixth holy Imam says, this na'im that you will be asked about on the day of judgment is as Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Now, the question is, we will be asked about Ahlul Bayt? What? What will be asked? We will be asked about Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, that we received a religion that was preserved by the presence of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. By Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, who gave up their lives, who gave up the lives of their children, who were forced away from their homes with all that suffering they went through, so that we are blessed with the pure religion that comes to us. Now we will be asked on the day of judgment, this religion came to you by the sadqa of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. What did you do with it? What did you do? Someone will say, look, I tried practicing it, but I couldn't do it properly. You know, it was so difficult. Aha. Well, that is between you and Allah. Some will say, I tried practicing it and I tried to convey it to my family and so on. Fine. Some will say, I tried to even give it to so many around me who I wondered, when will they learn the true guidance? And those are the people who will be fulfilling the haqq of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. The haqq of Ahlul Bayt does not lie in simply remembering them when wafat comes or kushali comes. Rahimallahu man ahya amrana, the sixth Imam says. Rahimallahu man ahya amrana, may Allah have mercy on those who revive our affairs, does not mean that we have such gatherings to remember them and that we satisfy ourselves that we have fulfilled our duties towards Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. For the haqq of Ahlul Bayt, 1963, first time when Mullah Asghar, may Allah elevate his status, when he went to Najaf, at that time, Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim radhanullahi alayhi was the marja of our time. And Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim asked Mullah Sahib Marhum, that you come from Africa. How long have you been in Africa? So, Marhum Mullah Sahib told Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim, we have been in Africa for nearly 100 years now, over 100 years. So Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim was pleased to hear that. And then he asked a question. He said, how many Africans are Shias? And Marhum Mullah Sahib said, none. At that time, they were none. So, Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim pointed out, you have migrated to a land where you utilize the natural resources of that land, where you breathe the air of that land, and you don't even have the simple compassion in you to give them the bounty that Allah has given you. He died, not asking for anything. Just give them what is there. Allah has sent to us. We are blessed with guidance. And if we want to keep it to ourselves, we are responsible on the day of judgment. And I tell you, history is full of examples. Can give you examples now, where we have existed as a community, where there are no other Shiite communities but us. And when we are forced to move away from there, our mosques are locked with padlocks. Nobody to pray in the mosque. What have we done? Is that our contribution to Islam? You look at the history of the Holy Prophet, starting from the history of the Holy Prophet, you want to find out why there is Shiaism in South Lebanon, so close to the land of Banu Umayyah. Banu Umayyah were in Sham. South Lebanon is an hour's drive from there. Yet in that heartland of Banu Umayyah, there is what they called at that time the cancer of Shiaism. Why was it there? Because one companion of the Holy Prophet spent some time there, Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. He spent some time there. And from that day up to today, the seeds that he sowed there then are there up to today. You go to areas like Philippines, Thailand. I went to Thailand, I was surprised to find Shia mosques 400 years old. 400. Shia mosques. Where did they come from? These things came from people who had moved to Thailand for business purposes, for whatever purposes. There were Iranians who had moved there. But together, they knew their duty, that wherever they went, they had a duty to convey Islam. That is a duty we have. And mind you, it is not remote control. Okay, tomorrow, we send a check to Bilal or to Tabligh or to Vipass and say, yeah, Tabligh Makaram. It's not that. It has to be in from here. We have a duty to convey. If all of us who are just, count the number of heads here, if all of us who are just convinced that during our lifetime, at least the least number of people we convey the message. We are not talking of conversion here. We are not talking of forced conversion. No, just conveying the message. If all of us were only to convey the message to the number of servants and employees we have in our own homes and businesses, you know the kind of revolution we'll have? That conveying of message is our duty. That is the question we will be asked on the Day of Judgment. يَلِسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ That Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam died for this message to spread all over the world. Not to be kept by those who think they possess this. No. It has to be spread out. And for this, there is a benefit. It's not just a duty like the kind of sawab that is attached to it. The Holy Prophet tells Imam Ali, Ya Ali, la in hada Allahu bika rajulan. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to guide one person through you, khayrun min kulli ma tala'at alayhi shams. It is better for you than everything on which the sun has ever shone. But the sawab of one hidayat, one person accepts Shiaism through some effort of yours or through some effort of ours. Only one person is better than everything on which the sun has ever shone. Where are we in the sawab? Well, Imam Hussein alayhi salam has left a challenge, an open challenge, which is open today up to the Day of Judgment. When he cried out in the plains of Karbala, هَلْ مِن نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا هَلْ مِن مُغِيثٍ يُغِيثُنَا You think Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after the death of all his companions, after the death of his son and his friends, you think Imam wanted to live or Imam wanted to be saved? What was the call for? The call was for me and you, brothers and sisters.
that is there anyone to assist the imam to carry this religion forward? Is there anyone to assist the imam in saving this religion from obliteration? Is there anyone? When the imam cried out, Jinn Ja'far, riwayat, Ja'far al-Jinn came forward and said, Mawla, if you order me, 30,000 jinns will wipe the whole army out just now. You in your world, imam told him, I don't want this help. That call is for us. So that during these 10 days, when we remember the imam, when we recall what he did, the least we can ask ourselves first is whether we are Husayni or whether we are Yazidi. What have we got together for? We have got together to cry for Imam Hussein al-Islam. We have got together to remember the suffering that they suffered. But at the end of the day, is there a difference between us and those who call themselves Muslims and were fighting the Imam? They were fighting the Imam at that time in person. And today, if we defeat the very message he died for, we are no different from those who stood against the Imam. Well, our duty today, in the ghaibat of the imam, is to make sure that we are pioneers in the path of Islam, such that the community around us that we are living in, when Muslims all around us want a classic example of Muslims or people who live like Muslims or people who practice the religion of Islam properly, we are the envy of all Muslim communities around us. You want to see a Muslim community? Go to the Shia Athanasian community. They are the true representatives of Islam. That is our duty. We have to put the flag of imams up. But inshallah, we shall look at finally tomorrow. I have a last majlis tomorrow, which is after Maghribain prayers. Finally, just a few indicative of signs before the reappearance. And once the imam reappears, what will he bring with him? That will be tomorrow after Maghribain. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.